You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Hello, Miami Dolphins fans, and welcome to the same old Dolphin Show, part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I'm Josh Katzker. With me today and every day is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
What's good, Brain? Been a few weeks since we've done one of these, so it's nice to check in again. What you been up to?
Oh, well, not going on a vacation as I planned to do last week. The weather and Fort Lauderdale Airport had different things in mind.
You would have needed an airboat to get out of the Florida Fort Lauderdale Airport there.
Yeah, frankly, I got a little bit lucky. If I'd have left for the airport about 30 to 45 minutes earlier, which was something that my wife and I had debated to try to get there as early as possible, we would have ended up stuck at the airport for about 24 hours because that place was underwater. Instead, we were actually on our way to the airport when we found out that the airport was closed and had to turn around and come back home and then tried to get out the next day, realized very quickly that wasn't going to happen either, and then decided, you know what, screw this. We're not going to stress out about travel for 3 days of my vacation, and instead we just made it a little bit of a staycation. So we, of all the places in the country to have a staycation, South Florida, not a bad place to have one.
Yes, it's not a bad place to have a vacation in rainy, flooded South Florida, and that's fantastic. So, well, I'm glad that you were in one piece. You made it through your staycation in peace. I'm sorry it didn't go the way that you planned, but hey, sometimes that's what life's all about. But while you were underwater, while South Florida was underwater, we're as buoyant as ever here in the same old Dolphin Show, and we figured it was time to come back and do one of these because, Brain, I don't know if you realize this, we're about a week away from the NFL draft.
I realized it, and I've been more than most years, which is odd because we don't have a pick until pick 51, and we have pick 51 and then 84, and then we don't have anything again until the sixth round, at least currently. I've strangely been very intrigued and plugged in to, you know, doing a little bit of draft prep, not necessarily myself. I'm not breaking down the tape, but, you know, go into resources that do have the time on their hands and, you know, do excel in that kind of thing, and listening to trusted opinions and kind of getting a feel for the players that I think will be available and, you know, forming an opinion on what I think the Dolphins should do in the draft. So I'm getting pretty excited about it. That, you know, the weird thing about not picking until 51, which I guess isn't as bad as last year, is that you get all excited for the draft and then you have a whole day of the draft where nothing happens.
Unless Chris Greer did a little bit of a teaser that maybe he was open to the idea of trading up into the first round, but I doubt that's something that we're going to see the Dolphins do. That's just, I'd be very, very surprised if that were to happen. But so we're going to talk about that. We'll give our thoughts on the draft, but we're also going to give our thoughts about this offseason so far and how we think the Dolphins have done thus far in this offseason. But before we do that, a reminder to everybody, if you're not doing so already, make sure you give us a follow on Twitter. I am at Amplified to Rock. He is at Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. You can download, rate, review, and subscribe to the Same Old Dolphins show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, anywhere you get your podcast. You can catch every episode of the Same Old Dolphins show on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. So go ahead and smash that subscribe button. Smash that like button on this video. We appreciate that. And of course, we invite you as well to make sure that you are visiting DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. It is your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins. And in the immortal words of Kyle Krabs, the host of Locked On Dolphins,
I certainly think everybody would benefit from more Dolphins talk in their lives.
So, I mean, you can't really argue with him. I mean, it's a good statement. So, you know, Kyle Krabs says you need more. He certainly thinks everybody could use more Dolphins talk. So, Kyle, what, say it one more time for the people.
I certainly think everybody would benefit from more Dolphins talk in their lives.
Yeah, I think they'd benefit from that too. So make sure you're heading up and visiting DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. Your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins. Brain, talk to me about how you are feeling about this Miami Dolphins offseason so far.
So it started off with a bang, right? That Jalen Ramsey trade. And, you know, I flip-flopped a little bit on the Jalen Ramsey trade. At first, I didn't love it because I just thought, you know, we had other needs and we're going to spend a whole lot of money with not a whole lot of cap space. But then we find out that, you know, he's taken a pretty significant pay cut. They restructured the deal. It's a very small cap hit for this year. So actually really a great move, considering the compensation that goes back to LA. I mean, obviously in a vacuum, even before you found out about the restructuring, like anytime you get an elite player for a third round pick and Hunter Long, like in a vacuum, that's a great deal. And my opposition to that move was the opportunity cost at the time. But when you find out that the cap hit is so small and it doesn't really deter you from really doing anything that you wanted to do this offseason, I mean, it really became a brilliant move. You basically swapped out Byron Jones, who wasn't going to play for the team, and you get Jalen Ramsey, and you're going to get that cap relief from Byron Jones after June 1st. So it was really a great move. And then you had some minor moves. I thought the David Long move was a good move. And then we've kind of hit the dead zone right now, where the first wave.
Well, hold on a second. We just signed Chosen Anderson.
Well, yeah, I was going to get chosen there. I was going to get there.
Anderson. He's been chosen. You know what else has been chosen? His name has been chosen.
Well, not many of us are ballsy enough to choose our own first name. But
if you could choose your first name, what would it be? I'll put that out to everybody watching on YouTube and Facebook on the I Am a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page. Put it in the comments. If you're watching on YouTube, if you could change your name to something, what would it be?
What I would do is I would make my first name my middle name, and I would change my first name to Cheech.
Ah, that's very good.
So I would be Chicharron.
That's very nice. That's very nice. I dig that. I'm into it. I love that. I think if I could change my first name, I would change it to Peanut Butter. I just really like peanut butter. So yeah.
I mean, if you don't like peanut butter, this is the wrong podcast for you.
Yeah, if you're not a fan of peanut butter, get out.
If you don't like peanut butter and chicharron, then yeah, you know.
Not necessarily together, but I want, and with respect to everybody with allergy issues and things like that. But.
And dietary restrictions.
Right. If you've got dietary restrictions and that prevents you from enjoying peanut butter and chicharron, well, okay.
I so feel sorry for you.
But regardless, Brain, we picked up. I got to get your thoughts on that, right? We did another show. We talked about all this stuff. I mean, let's not forget, we also brought in Dan Feeney Okay. Mr. Feeney.
Very true.
Mr. Feeney is here. Okay. And he showed up to work with a hat that says run the damn ball. Okay. So let's just remember that. Okay. Very, very important figure in our lives, Dan Feeney. But Brant, I need to know what you think of this. What do we think of Chosen Anderson?
I'm intrigued by it. I think, I mean, we haven't seen the contract details of this, have we? Have we seen what the terms of the deal are? And
I don't think so. And it's apparently numerous people within the Dolphins organization have spoken to Chosen Anderson and made him no promises. So he's not guaranteed a roster spot here.
Yeah. And so I think given that he's not guaranteed a roster spot, a lot of people are going to compare this to the signing last year of Mohamed Sanu. Mm, yep. And that may, in fact, turn out to be the case. But I also think with the depth of the wide receiver room as it currently is, I also think, and the cap number that Cedric Wilson has, I think this is, you're bringing this guy in to be a replacement for Cedric Wilson. And I think Cedric Wilson, I'd be surprised if he's on the roster come opening day. Frankly, I'd be surprised if he was on the roster come the start of training camp. But, you know, if they decide, well, we don't know what we're going to get out of Chosen Anderson, so we want to keep Cedric Wilson around, and there's nobody that we want to sign with those dollars that we can save, $6 million in cap savings for this season, then maybe they feel like it's worth it to keep Cedric Wilson. I don't. I would have traded Cedric Wilson for a seventh round pick about a month ago and used the cap savings to get an offensive tackle. But that's beside the case. The Dolphins decided that, you know, they don't want to, they value Cedric Wilson. They signed him last year. They think they've got something there. I don't know what they think they have. They went out and they signed Braxton Berrios to be the slot receiver. So what is Cedric Wilson? He's your fourth wide receiver. He's your outside receiver backup to Waddle and Tyreek Hill. And then you bring in Chosen Anderson, who may in fact be better at that role. So you connect the dots. You also still have River Craycraft. You also still have Braylon Sanders. You also still have Eric Ezukanma, who you purposely, you know, just didn't bring back Trent Sherfield because you expect Ezukanma to take a big step forward. So the room is too full. He's either going to be just a camp body that's gone, or he's a replacement for Cedric Wilson. And given the cap savings, it just doesn't make sense to keep Cedric Wilson.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, here's what Chris Greer said today in his press conference on Wednesday about Cedric Wilson. Teams have called. We're not shopping him. We've had a couple teams reach out. He's a real good guy. We're trying to do right by him. Now, when the GM says we're trying to do right by him, that's pretty clear code for this guy's not going to be here and we're trying to find the right destination for him, essentially, while also trying to make sure that they've got a good deal for themselves. That's how I view
it. There you go. Because I don't think the Dolphins care where Cedric Wilson goes.
No.
I think they'd prefer to not trade him within the division.
Sure.
But I think that they don't really care where he goes. I think they just want to get as good a pick as possible for him. Now, where I would question them, and like you can play the game yourself, but do you think it is worth it? Let's say you could have traded Cedric Wilson for a seventh round pick a few weeks ago.
Okay.
Freed up cap space and signed an offensive tackle who would have been a clear upgrade over Austin Jackson.
Well, I'm in favor of doing anything in my power to
and we'll get back to that in a second. But you would have done that a few weeks ago.
Sure.
Is it worth it? Let's say on draft day, you get a team that's real thirsty. You can get a sixth round pick.
Oh,
for Cedric Wilson.
Oh, now we're talking.
Is it worth it to have waited that month for to like move up 30 picks in like the sixth round of the draft?
I mean, you know, at this point, sure, why not? I don't know that there is, the feeling that I get from the Dolphins is that they don't see anybody out there right now that they view as a clear upgrade over Austin Jackson. Now, you can think whatever you want to think about that, and I know that I certainly have opinions about it, but that seems to be the way that the Dolphins are approaching it, right? They seem to think that, you know, Austin Jackson is their guy. I mean, Greer said as much today in his press conference as well. You know, he talked about him. He said that, you know, they believe that Jackson is going to be their guy on the offensive line. We're excited for him. He was frustrated with the injuries last season, but is working hard. Having Teron Armstead around will be tremendous value for him. So that's what they're talking about with Austin Jackson on the offensive line.
And what I would say is right now, I don't necessarily disagree with him. The problem is, about a month ago, that wasn't the case.
No.
When free agency started, there were clear upgrades
for
Austin Jackson. And I'm not even saying you needed to go spend big money on Mike McGlinchey. I'm not even advocating for that. But there were other guys that were available that would be clear upgrades over Austin Jackson. And the Dolphins had ways to make the money work. And they've been, for whatever reason, you call it hardball, you call it sitting on your hands, you call it trusting too much in Austin Jackson, whatever the reason is, the Dolphins have been unwilling to make the moves necessary to be able to afford to spend on that position. And frankly, forget about that. Like, you didn't even have to move things around to make it work, because when you look at the money that the Dolphins spent just on guys like, you know, Mike White, bringing back Andrew Van Ginkle, Malik Reed, Deshaun Elliott, Eric Saubert, like two or three of those guys are not cutting Keon Crossan, which would have saved $3.5 million. You cut Keon Crossan and you all of a sudden have like $6.5 million in cap space right now. Why hasn't that happened? You know, why didn't that happen about a month ago if you were so strapped for cash? The answer is they really haven't valued it. So Chris Greer has almost basically told you, I believe Austin Jackson is going to be the guy at tackle. And I don't even think that it's going to matter when we get the extra cap relief. We might bring in another body to compete, but I don't think they're bringing in anybody to upgrade for Austin Jackson.
And that's kind of where they're
at. Or Liam Beichenberg.
Yeah. But, you know, but the reason for that is because should things go sideways, you've got a solution in the building.
Oh, it took me a second to see him there on the left side. It's
for
Mr.
those
P.
of you who are listening to the podcast, we've got the cast of Boy Meets World, including the new Mr. Feeney, who says, run the damn ball. You're not going to be able to truly appreciate this until you go and you seek it out on YouTube. So check it out on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. So we got a solution in house. Hey, you know, there it is.
Well, he can't play tackle, so I don't know that he's a solution.
No.
He could play guard. And that's
nice. You
kick
Robert Hunt out.
I really think he's a backup center, but he could play guard.
Sure. But he's in the building, which is, you know, listen, that's the first step. That's the most important thing. He's in the building. So, but this is, I think that leads us to an important place in terms of the draft, Brain, because I think you look at what the Dolphins have in the draft and you can really start to talk about what their options are. So the Dolphins, just as a recap to anybody, in case you didn't realize this and you haven't, I mean, listen, if you're the kind of person who consumes a lot of Dolphins media, and if you're listening to this podcast, I'm going to assume that you are, you know by now that the Dolphins have no pick in round one, thanks to Stephen Ross and also trading for Jalen, or Bradley Chubb, rather. But we know that the Dolphins have a pick in round two, pick number 51. They've got a pick in round three, which is pick number 84. They've also got pick 197 in round six and pick 238. I'm sorry, 197 in round six and pick 238 in round seven. That's what the Dolphins have, those four picks. And so, you know, it's an interesting thing because typically when the Dolphins are talking about draft, you're really looking at you know, what can we do to improve this team right now? And I think as you look at this draft and looking at what the Dolphins have right now, unless you feel like they're going to do some wheeling and dealing, I guess that's always possible. But when I look at this, you have to ask yourself, what is this team looking to do? Is this team looking to bring in guys that are going to contribute immediately to this team right now? Because let's be honest, right? If you're talking about the Miami Dolphins in 2023, the expectation is that this team is contending for a Super Bowl, right? At this point, that's where we're at. That's where we're at. If you're the Miami Dolphins, the way that this team has been built, we are in the window right now. You know, there's this year, there's next year. I mean, that's really the big time. You might be able to stretch it to 2025 if you move some things around, but we're in the window now. This team needs to win right now. So if you look at it that way, heading into this draft, is this a draft where the Miami Dolphins are in position to even bring in guys that are going to contribute right now? And really, when you're talking about the draft, you're looking at rounds two and three. Those are the only players where I think you might, the only places where I think you might consider that the Dolphins would find somebody that is going to contribute immediately. Round six and round seven, total crapshoot. Sometimes you get a guy who can make an impact right away. Most of the time, these are projects. These are imperfect players, imperfect prospects, and guys that are, they may come out of the blue, the clear blue sky, and do something for you, but these are not guys that you were drafting expecting them to be major contributors. But in the second and third round, that's more of a possibility. So, I mean, the way that I think about it is if I'm the Miami Dolphins, I'm probably looking in this position that I'm looking to draft guys that are going to be pieces that might help us down the road. I don't know that I'm necessarily looking to fill a need right now in terms of finding a contributor right now. I mean, one of the places where the Dolphins, I think, are in their biggest need, Brain, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think one of the areas where the Dolphins really need to bring in at least another piece, I would think, is tight end. Right?
Absolutely.
Right now, they've got Durham Smythe, Eric Saubert, and Tanner Connor. That's your tight end room. The problem is, you're talking about the NFL draft, and you're looking at drafting a rookie tight end in the second or third round, and that is not usually where you're going to draft a tight end who's going to become an instant contributor. I mean, even if you're drafting a tight end in the first round, most of the time, they're not becoming instant contributors. It takes them a little while to adapt and adjust to the professional game. So it brings me back to, are the Dolphins spending another first, second, or third round pick on an offensive lineman?
Well, I think if there's an offensive lineman worth taking, it wouldn't be a bad idea. The problem is, there might not be an offensive lineman worth taking by the time you get to 51. And you have very limited draft capital. If you trade up for a guy, you better make sure that that guy's a player, because we can't have another Liam Eichenberg situation.
No, absolutely not.
And so,
But who's making the draft picks?
A guy, that guy, who does not have a good track record of drafting offensive linemen.
No. No. So,
Robert Hunt aside.
So how are you feeling about this draft, Brain? I know you're fired up. You're looking at all the prospects and you're thinking about all the different options that we have. Let's start with round two, right? Dolphins have pick 51. Assuming they don't trade up. I personally view the odds of a trade up as I think it's pretty unlikely. I guess one of the other things that people were talking about is running back, but I think if the Dolphins are going to strengthen the running back room further, there's another option that's floating out there that we'll talk about in a little bit. We also know that the Dolphins are certainly not, you know, they have not been terribly interested in drafting running backs, at least in the first couple of rounds. So tell me what you're thinking about for the Dolphins at 51.
So tight end is definitely a big time need. So is offensive tackle. So is a guard. Other needs that we could be looking at. A lot of people have been throwing around linebacker, but I think linebacker was a big need for this team coming into the season or coming into the offseason. And I think when you go out and you sign David Long and then you bring back Andrew Van Ginkel and you bring in Malik Reed and you drafted Channing Tindall in the third round last year, unless you're planning to move on from Jerome Baker this season, I just don't think it makes a whole lot of sense to go after linebacker, provided the fact that you've got all these needs that you still have to fill. Now that, you know, begs the question, well, wouldn't it have been a good idea to address your needs in free agency? Like, getting a safety in free agency, getting a tackle in free agency, getting a guard in free agency. You brought back all your running backs. So if you had to go through this draft without picking up a running back, you could survive. But you basically have put yourself in a position right now where you're basically running it back at the offensive line if you don't draft an offensive lineman at 51 or 84. And you're basically running it back at tight end sans Mike Gesicki if you don't draft a tight end at 51 or 84. And you're already running it back at running back. So it's like, I get that we've put a lot of emphasis on the defense this offseason. But I think the Dolphins have put themselves in a position where they have very defined needs going into the draft, which on one hand is a good thing because you've got very defined needs. You know what you need to get. But on the other hand, it puts you in a very unenviable position where if the run at those positions happens before you're able to pick, you are going to be in a position where you have to reach on a player. And that is where Chris Greer has consistently gotten himself into trouble in the past, is when he's honed in on a specific position and decided, I need to get the player at this position right now because this is the last player in this tier, instead of just picking the best player available. And if the Dolphins would have spent the offseason, a free agency, addressing all of their needs, they could go into this draft and say, hey, we don't need to draft a guy that's going to come in and start for us next year or be a heavy contributor next year. If they are, great, but we could go out there and literally pick the best player available. And right now, I think they can find themselves in a position. Now, if the draft was to fall perfectly, then you get like a Darnell Washington at 51. I mean, yes. Do you feel great about picking a tight end to contribute right away, put up numbers as a rookie? Historically, no, that's not how it works. But the thing is, the Dolphins don't need their tight end to put up big numbers. They need a tight end that can block. And Darnell Washington is far and away the best blocking tight end in this draft, and has the ability to be a very good receiving tight end. I don't think there's a chance in hell he makes it to 51. And so that's a guy that the Dolphins might have to consider trading up for. Because, again, you're in a position where do you absolutely need this position? Do you need to fill this position in this draft? And you don't have very many picks to do it. The other guy that I would consider trading up for, or the other position I would consider trading up for, is offensive tackle. Because the tackle position, there's some depth there, but it thins out pretty quickly after a specific tier. And it seems like the guy at the bottom of that tier is a guy that a lot of people have had mocked to the Dolphins, and that's Syracuse offensive tackle Matthew Bergeron. And by all accounts, this would be a guy that would be a good pick, and there's a good chance that he could fall to 51. So if you fall to 50, if Matthew Bergeron falls to 51 and Darnell Washington is not there, like, this is the home run dream scenario. You take that pick. He competes with Austin Jackson. I think he beats out Austin Jackson, and you've got your right tackle. And if he doesn't beat out Austin Jackson year one, this is a guy that's got position flexibility. Maybe he beats out Liam Eikenberg at guard. And even if he doesn't do it right off the bat, the Dolphins have a big decision to make in Austin Jackson anyway, because he's in a contract year. So this could be your guy that can replace Austin Jackson at the end of this year, unless Austin Jackson comes out and plays just a whale of a season, which we're, what, 4 years in? I'm tired of waiting for it.
Well, I was told by the internet, who posted a video of Austin Jackson working out in shorts, that he's going to be really good this year, because look at him working out in shorts. This is impressive stuff. Look at him.
I was told that when the Dolphins drafted him at 18, that he was going to be really, really good.
Going to be working out in shorts, he's going to really put on a show for you this year. Austin Jackson, look out. Folks, can I just ask, please stop drawing. Do not draw any conclusion about any NFL player based on a video of them practicing. That goes for Tua underthrowing a pass. It goes for Raheem Mostert making cuts. It's for Austin Jackson doing tire drills. I don't care who it is. The only video that I am concerned with a Miami Dolphins player doing work off the field is Dan Feeney eating a sandwich. Okay, that's what I want to see. I can draw conclusions about the kind of player Dan Feeney is based on him eating a sandwich, but Austin Jackson running around in shorts? Give me a break.
Now, what if we got a video of Austin Jackson eating a sandwich?
Now that's a different situation. Is he eating a sandwich in shorts? Is he with Dan Feeney?
He's with Dan Feeney.
Okay.
And they are having a La Spada sub eating competition.
Okay, see, now we need to reach out to our friends at MiamiDolphins.com and have them start working on putting this content together, because this is gold right here, okay? Everybody's had their fill of draft conversations and analysis and all of that. What the people want is Dan Feeney and Austin Jackson eating La Spadas. Let's go.
Yes.
What about second round? Not the second round. What about third round?
I think they go hand in hand. I think even in the second round, I think as far as running backs are concerned, because that's going to be the other hot button, I think safety is absolutely a position that's getting going under the radar right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. In fact, somebody in the chat said that as well.
Because when you look at it, And I wanted to get into this, and I don't know if we're going to have time to do this whole thought experience. Well, you know what? Let's do it right now. I know this is kind of a tangent, but let's
thought
do this
experiment.
Right now.
Yeah. I love a thought experiment. Right. I love a tangent. What is this? This is the old Dolphins show.
Yeah. So I want to talk about the Dolphins offseason, their needs coming into the offseason, and then I'm going to go through the position, and I'm going to ask you, do you think that the Dolphins right now are better than they were at the end of the regular season? Worse, is the room better than it was at the end of the season, worse than it was at the end of the season, or is it basically the same?
Okay.
First, let's identify the needs. coming into the off season. Tackle.
Yep.
Guard.
Yep.
Running back.
Yep.
Tight end.
Yep.
Cornerback.
Yep.
Linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
Safety. And then you could make a case for interior defensive line depth, but let's not even go there.
Okay.
So regardless of how you rank the importance of these positions, let's start with the obvious: cornerback. Mm-hmm. Dolphins lost Byron Jones, jettisoned Byron Jones. They brought in Jalen Ramsey. They brought back Nick Needham. They bring back basically everybody else.
That clearly an upgraded unit.
Clearly the unit got better. Linebacker. Dolphins didn't really jettison anybody. They added David Long. They kept Andrew Van Ginkle. They added Malik Reed. Clearly an upgrade, right?
Upgrade.
Okay. Now, safety. The Dolphins added Deshaun Elliott, who is mostly a box safety, projected to kind of do the same things that Brandon Jones does. They lost Eric Rowe.
Mm-hmm.
Did this unit get better, worse, or stay the same at this point?
I mean, Elliott is kind of an unknown quantity, but I would say they got marginally worse probably at safety.
I would agree. At this point, especially knowing that we're going into a system that's going to be playing a lot of two high safeties, or we're assuming is going to be playing a lot of two high safeties, you don't really have right now your deep safety is Elijah Campbell.
Yeah. I also think you can view the defensive secondary as a unit. And I think on balance, even if you got a little bit worse at safety, you've still in general gotten better in your defensive backfield.
Okay, that's fair. I'd like to go by position, but if you want to look at it as the defensive backfield as a whole.
Well, because you also have to consider Fangio's defense, and I think that plays into it. So
yeah, I agree. You know what, for kicks and giggles, since we're on the defensive side and there's only one other position, interior defensive line, the Dolphins haven't brought back anybody to replace John Jenkins yet. So right now it's the same unit minus John Jenkins.
I think it stayed the same.
I think it's worse.
Okay.
Now, granted, you can bring in a guy and make it about the same, but I'd say you have the same group minus John Jenkins. Right now it's worse.
All right.
All right. Now let's go to the offensive side of the ball. Tackle. The Dolphins lost Brandon Shell.
Yeah.
And it's the same.
It's, you know, yeah. Okay. I think it's worse, frankly, because Brandon Shell did okay.
Yeah. So. Guard. The Dolphins have done nothing. They have the same.
It's the same.
It's the absolute same.
Yeah.
Running back.
It's literally the exact same.
Literally the exact same.
As of this moment.
Tight end.
Tight end is downgraded. Well, yeah.
You lost Mike Gesicki. You brought in Eric Saubert.
Yeah.
So, by position group, the Dolphins have upgraded two position groups.
Well, they've also upgraded their wide receiver room, I would argue.
Yeah, and I would say of all the positions that the Dolphins had, what was the position that they probably needed the least help at?
Sure.
Was probably wide receiver. So I would say that the Dolphins right now, obviously, linebacker is a huge upgrade. Corner is a huge upgrade. And that's worth noting. And I think that the Dolphins defense is going to be much improved. And then the biggest addition is just the addition of Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
And I think the Dolphins defense is going to make a huge upgrade because of Vic Fangio and those specific upgrades. And you still have room to grow here. But the point is that for an offseason where you came in with very defined areas of need, they really haven't addressed most of their needs. And so they come into the draft with very few picks, even one fewer pick in the top 100 than they started with, because they traded the third round pick for Jalen Ramsey. And they're going to have a hard time filling these needs. And I think they've painted themselves into a corner where they're going to need to really hit home runs on every pick, because as you said, they need guys to come in and be impact players day one, because this is not a team that's waiting for their winning window. This is a team that needs to win now. And so we talk about, well, I think it's unlikely that they'll trade up because they need all the draft picks that they can. Well, they need as many impact players as they can. So if they find a, if there's a player there that they really love, like a Darnell Washington or a Matthew Bergeron, they may need to trade up to get him. If they wait at 51 and those guys are gone, I really think that the value at that spot might be safety. It might be running back. There may be a guard there. There may be your defensive tackle. Defensive tackle is a very interesting position right now, and it's a continuously developing story that started at like a very low simmer. It started off the Heat in general coming into the offseason. It was a foregone conclusion. One thing the Dolphins are going to do this offseason is they're going to give Christian Wilkins a contract extension. Not only is he your best player on defense, not only is he a leader in your locker room, but actually extending him saves you money against the cap this year. So it was like the no-brainer of no-brainer decisions. It should have been the first thing that was done this offseason. When it didn't get done at the very start of free agency, alarm bells went off in my head. They should have in yours. And I think things got kind of on a low simmer. Now, granted, this is a dead area. Not a lot is happening. And he's under contract for this year. So I think we're still kind of, I don't think we're at a low simmer anymore. I think we're kind of up to like, you know, a medium heat. We're up to a medium heat on this. Are the Dolphins actually having an issue re-signing Christian Wilkins? Are they playing hardball with Christian Wilkins? That's what I think is happening. If the Dolphins are playing hardball with Christian Wilkins, then they've got a major decision to make on Zach Sealer. And they also have a major hole that they're going to need to fill next season if Christian Wilkins doesn't come back, even if you do bring back Zach Sealer.
I don't even want to think about that.
Right now, the Dolphins' top three defensive tackles are Christian Wilkins, Zach Sealer, and Raekwon Davis, all of whom are in contract years.
Yeah.
So it might not be a bad idea to be looking at drafting a defensive tackle, but if they draft a defensive tackle, especially if there are viable options at other positions,
it kind of
clues you in to what the Dolphins are thinking.
Making me sick to my stomach here. Well, we'll see what they do. We'll see what they do, Bryn. I'm excited about the draft. And there is some talk here on the in Dolphins Talk land about what might be some options, that things that might happen on day two of the draft. So make sure you stick around DolphinsTalk.com and you're visiting, you're listening to the different podcasts so that you know what's going on. And in case you've forgotten,
I certainly think everybody would benefit from more Dolphins Talk in their lives.
So make sure you're visiting every single day to get your daily dose of Miami Dolphins. But, Brain, the other thing that's floating around right now, we talked about running back, right? We know that right now the Dolphins have basically stayed pat in the running back room. But the rumors are out there that the Dolphins were in discussions with the Minnesota Vikings about Dalvin Cook. And there are now conversations that if the Vikings can't find a trade partner for Dalvin Cook, the Dalvin Cook might just be released. I don't know what I feel about that, because I feel like that's not something that a, If that is something that a team is considering, that's not something that they would put out there. But you know, maybe there's a team that wants to jump in and make sure that they can get it. I mean, but the big thing is Dalvin Cook has this big contract. And if he gets traded right now, the team that trades for him is going to have to take on at least part of that contract. And it's a bigger money deal. Now, however, if he's released, that changes the game. But the feeling is, and it's, you know, and there are some agents saying it, there are members of the media that are saying it, that the Dolphins may very well be in on Dalvin Cook. And I mean, there's no doubt about it. If Dalvin Cook were to come to Miami, that is a significant upgrade to the running back room, right? The question is, does it happen? What are your thoughts?
I think it's hard to trade for him with the contract that he has, with the limited draft capital that you have, with the contract that he has, with the other needs that you have on the roster. I think it's difficult to trade for him unless you're giving up, like, you know, I mean, they're not going to do it for a sixth or a seventh round pick. So maybe you're trading like next year's three. Like, I mean, will they take next year's three or next year's four for Dalvin Cook? If you can do that, and then you can make the contract work by opening up cap space by, I don't know, cutting Keon Crossan, trading Cedric Wilson, extending Christian Wilkins, then yeah, maybe you can make that work. But I feel like that's something that if the Dolphins are going to trade for him, they probably don't do it until they get that cap relief after June 1st, in which case, is Minnesota holding on to him, or do they trade him to somebody else because Minnesota is looking for somebody, is looking for draft capital in this year's draft? I'd find it hard to believe that Minnesota would cut him, considering he has value prior to the draft. So I don't think they're going to cut him prior to the draft. Now, could Minnesota, being that they're kind of cap strapped, and maybe they decide like, hey, we're not necessarily, does Minnesota look at it and say, we're not in our winning window, or we've got a running back in Madison that we feel like we can move on from Dalvin Cook and use the cap savings elsewhere to put ourselves in position to better compete this year? Then maybe, you know, Dalvin Cook is somebody that gets cut post June 1st. And then,
exactly.
And then and then all of a sudden the Dolphins have the money that's been freed up from Byron Jones to go out there and sign him. I think that would probably be the route that it would take for the Dolphins to get Dalvin Cook. But the other thing is this also feels like Dalvin Cook wants to be a Miami Dolphin.
It does feel like that, doesn't it?
And he's from down here. There's obviously a lot of appeal to come play for the Dolphins in general. The no state income tax, the weather, the things to do, the fact that he's from down here, the fact that the Dolphins are clearly in their winning window. There's a lot of reasons why Dalvin Cook would want to come down here to play for him. And that really bodes well for the Dolphins if he gets cut and not traded. Mm-hmm. Because if he gets cut and he's a free agent, then you can put yourself in the position where Chris Greer is kind of at his best, where you could say, hey, you want to come play for us? We'll make this happen. And like, we'll structure the contract in a way that works for the team, and you get to come down here and play in your hometown and play in front of your family and friends.
So, yeah, I was just going to say, you, but I don't want to trade him. I was going to come up with a trade scenario, but I don't want to trade him. I don't want to take that salary on, so yeah. Forget it.
I don't want to give up the draft capital, and I don't want to give up the salary. And even though Dalvin Cook is a really, really good running back, really,
it's a luxury buy.
Yeah, it's a luxury buy, and frankly the Dolphins don't have the money for it
right
now. But you cut him, or they cut him, and it's post June 1st, and the Dolphins all of a sudden have a bunch of extra cap space, and they've got ways of getting more. then you can find a way to put a Dalvin Cook on your roster. And I think it'd be a great add and a great fit.
Yeah. If the Vikings release him, let Dalvin cook, baby. Let him cook. All right. I think that's it. Brain, anything else?
I'm just really interested to see the way the rest of this offseason pans out.
Oh, yeah. A long way to go.
Yeah, and I think it's worth noting that there is a lot that still has to happen. Like right now, I have a lot of questions about the way the way Chris Greer has handled the offseason. If I had to grade the Dolphins offseason at this specific point, I'd probably give it like a C, maybe a C+. I know a lot of people are like, oh, the Dolphins, they signed.
It's the same old Aaron the Brain right here.
Well, yeah. Well, it's also the same old Dolphins. They made one really splashy move, and everybody's all excited about how great, how much better that makes them. While at the same time, under the radar, they really, we literally went position by position. And on like 8 positions, the Dolphins improved 2 of them and got worse in most of them.
Let's not forget, though, about that defensive coordinator signing is a significant deal.
Yeah, and honestly, it's probably the biggest thing that the Dolphins have done this offseason. Yeah. But
we're also not all the way there yet.
This is sheer, kind of, it's not tin hat, it's not aluminum foil hat conspiracy theory, but it's like conjecture. What it feels like is that the Dolphins were head over heels to go get Vic Fangio. And part of the deal was, we're going to spend a lot of our free agency and a lot of our offseason addressing the defensive side of the ball at Vic Fangio's wishes. And what I'm saying is, that's fine. I agree that the defense needs to get better, but we've been watching the NFL over the last 20 years more and more become an offensive league. Last season, one of the best defensive teams we've seen in recent years, one of the best defenses in the league was in the Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs. They had no answer for Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Now, because at the end of the day, what it used to be in the NFL was great defense would beat great offense. But in today's NFL, the rules are set up so that great offense beats great defense. So if I was planning on, completing my Super Bowl run, completing my roster to make a run in my Super Bowl winning window, and I had the choice of making my offense, which has a lot of elite pieces and just has a couple of pieces that probably need to be filled to make it an elite offense, or putting a bunch of emphasis on the defense to make it an elite defense, I would choose the offense 8 days a week in today's NFL. And it looks like, right now, that the Dolphins have made the decision to completely run it back on the offensive side of the ball. They're bringing back the same offensive line, the same backfield, the same quarterback. Okay, we brought in Braxton Berrios and Chosen Anderson.
Chosen. The chosen one.
I'm worried about it.
I think it is. Yeah, I mean, by all means, you should be. It's very clear that the Dolphins are making a big bet on Austin Jackson being the answer. That not only is he going to stay healthy, but that he is going to have improved as a player, that he's going to be able to be their guy, and that Eichenberg is going to do the same thing. That's the bet. That is the bet this team is making, in that they did not really bring in a lot of reinforcements on that offensive line. So it is very much, this team is going up the windy road, up the side of the mountain, the one lane road. They've got everything they need to get up that road, but that road is awfully narrow. And all it's going to take is one or two little elements of that road not acting the way that they're expecting them to, and the whole truck could fall off the road and fall off the side of the mountain. And so I mean, it's not the best analogy that I've ever made, but it's, you know, I think it's fair. What?
It's an analogy.
It is. It is certainly an analogy that I have made here on the show. And here's the thing. We're going to have another episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show probably shortly after the draft to look back on it. We may do something live during the second round of the draft here at Dolphins Talk. So stay tuned. We'll let you know about that. And then after that, pretty much after that draft show, it's going to be a little bit of a break. I get into my busy real life season. So summertime is a busy time for me, so I won't be around too much, but we'll try to pop in every now and again as necessary. But in the meantime, you can always find us at the usual places. I am at Amplified to Rock on Twitter. He is at Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron the Brain on Twitter. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. Again, download, rate, review, subscribe to Same Old Dolphins Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud. Subscribe to the Dolphins YouTube channel. Smash that like button. Hit the thumbs up. We appreciate it very much. And of course, make sure you are heading to DolphinsTalk.com every single day, because
I certainly think everybody would benefit from more Dolphins talk in their life.
So, for Aaron the Brain, take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, go Dolphins!
If I can get plus money on Austin Jackson out-eating Dan Feeney, I'm taking that bet every day of the week.